I'll read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. So clothe yourselves with tender feelings, kindness, true humility, gentleness, and patience, like God's chosen, holy people whom He loves. Put up with one another. If someone has a problem with somebody else, forgive each other as the Lord forgave you. Add love to all of these things. Love binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ direct your hearts. God called you in one body to peace. Be thankful.
If you noticed, I actually read that verse this morning as it related to our lesson on forgiveness, but there's another lesson I've developed from that and have for you tonight. And so certainly a powerful passage of Scripture as we think about the new creation that we are as Christians. And if you remember in chapter 3, as he begins the chapter there, Paul begins to describe the Christian once again and really talking about not necessarily thinking about our past life, although to some degree we certainly would do that from time to time, but he's teaching us there to look for the things that are above where Christ is. And so as we focus our life now that it's in Christ, now that we're that new creation and we've dedicated our life to bear our cross and to follow Him, certainly then we're going to be thinking like Him and having that same mind like Christ, and that is to think things of above, not the things of the earth. And so it takes a lot of humility, it takes a lot of strength as a Christian to be able to do that. And as we see there, there's some characteristics that Paul writes for every Christian that we need to also have. And so this evening, I actually want to begin by looking at another particular passage that Paul wrote and then compare that to what he said there in Colossians 3, and more specifically verse 13. And so if you have your Bible, go over to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading there in verse 2 and read a couple of verses here as we begin to talk about what it means to bear one another's burdens for the cause of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, and begin reading there with me in verse 2. He begins by saying, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. But let him who is taught in the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows his in flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And so there we have a great many things that we can have as we think about not only this passage, but Colossians 3 and verses 12 through 15. And that is, of course, the idea of bearing one another's burdens. And so that's where I want to begin this evening. As we think about bearing there, and you compare the command here, Paul is giving us a direct command in the present tense there. As Christians, here's what he's saying to do. In your life, you always need to be continuously bearing one another's burdens. But to really understand what that means, we need to understand two things. And the first is, what does it mean to bear? And so to bear, according to Colossians 3 and verse 13, Paul uses a term there that begins to describe an action that we need to have toward one another. And so when we're thinking about this, this comes from a word that, two words actually in the Greek, ana, which means up, and echo, which means to hold. And so together then, this word means to hold up. And so as Paul there is describing about bearing with one another in Colossians 3 and verse 13 and Galatians 6 and verse 2, he's using a word that describes what we need to do. And the actual word means to hold up. To hold up what? Well, he gives us the answer there, to hold up someone else, to hold up others. And of course, the context there is for you and I as children of God, we are to hold one another up. And so, again, as we look at our prayer list and we think about all the things that all of us as Christians go through, whether it's the loss of a loved one or a health issue, as we constantly see happen over and over again because this is life, it's during these times of stress, during the times of even temptation for somebody, there's a lot of different reasons why we should be able to obey this command and be the people that we ought to be by holding one another up when these things happen in our life and those around us. And if you remember, going back to verse 1, although he's talking about a sinful Christian and how we need to really deal with them, he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, go restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And so why do we need to obey this direct command from God? Why do we need to obey the command that Paul has written there, inspired by God? It's because we need to understand that if I'm going through a situation, if I'm going through a circumstance that is hard to deal with, I need to know that someone is there for me. How great is it as we think about even, the married life, and for those of us who are married, to know that when something goes wrong, we have a partner, we have a wife, we have a husband that's able to help us and lean on somebody to talk to you. Why do you think God instituted marriage? Because everybody can have that special situation if they so choose to be married according to the laws of God. And so there's that companionship, there's that friendship, that's what we need. Well, we extend that then to the brotherhood. We extend that to every single Christian, as Paul commands there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Again, he says, "You all continue to bear," as the present tense says, "continue to bear every single day. Hold one another up when these things happen." No matter what the case may be, you need to hold each other up and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why are you doing this? He's saying to fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks there's not a law of Christ, certainly this passage teaches us as such. And so, if we want to follow the law of Christ, that means that there are certain responsibilities, there are certain requirements for us as Christians that we are to read in the New Testament. And so we need to be that man who looks into that perfect law of liberty. We need to look into that mirror and realize that we need to bear one another's burdens. And ultimately, as you see here with that present tense connected to the fulfilling, it's happening at the same time. And so if we neglect this command, like any other command that we might neglect of God, if we neglect these things, we're not fulfilling the law that Christ established for us. And so certainly a powerful lesson there in Galatians chapter 6 and there in verse 2. But there's a couple examples I want to actually look at this evening as we think about this concept of bearing one another's burdens and understanding what a burden is. And as the Greek would suggest here, it's from the word baros, that's the root word. And Vine says this is the idea of a weight, something that is heavy or heaviness, and translated a burden, anything grievous and hard to be borne or to bear. And so when we understand that definition and we understand the idea of bearing, it's those two things that help us fulfill that command. And so what I'd like to do then is to go back and look at a few examples in the Old Testament that help us illustrate some of the things that God's people had to deal with and bear with to help us understand what we do. And I know that we have a different period of time that we live in, but certainly the Word is everlasting. So go over to Genesis chapter 4. And Genesis chapter 4 is going to be a unique example that in that what's going to be something that Cain's going to have to bear is really his own fault. And as we read the text here, we're going to realize that some of the consequences of his actions there he's going to have to bear. But it's a good example for us to learn from as far as being a Christian today and what it really means to bear one another's burdens. And so if you remember there, let's begin reading in verse 8. And this is, of course, after we learn about Cain and Abel and their jobs, as Cain was a worker of the ground or a tiller of the ground, and Abel was one who worked with the sheep. And so they had two different responsibilities, of course. And each one of them are going to be offering an offering to God. Cain is going to offer an offering, and the text does not say it's from the best of his crop, and so we don't know whether he just didn't care to give God the best. But Abel did give from the best of his, and so we see that comparison there made, but Cain gets angry. So verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." And so out of his anger, out of God accepting the offering of Abel, he began to get mad. And of course, over some time as he was out in this field, he murdered his own brother. And then the Lord said to Cain in verse 9, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" We know that God knew Cain murdered Abel at this point, but he wants to put him on the spot to test him to see if he's going to be honest with him. In verse 10, and he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And then notice what happens here, and this is what we can learn from Cain, even though he caused this particular burden to fall upon himself. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Now notice some of the consequences there as we think about a burden to bear. Notice there are three things that Cain had to bear now. And yes, he was responsible for this particular thing happening to him. He's the one that murdered his own brother. But notice that he had to then bear something for the rest of his life. And the first thing there is he says, God says, when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield or produce its strength. Remember, one of the things he did, that was his livelihood. That was his job. And now because of his sin, God is saying, I'm taking that strength away from you. He didn't say he was going to take all the produce away from him, but it's no longer going to produce. Think about that as that being your livelihood. And now you're no longer going to receive the same type of blessings that you were receiving. What a burden to bear. But the second thing that he says also there is that you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. A fugitive, typically we think, is associated with some who runs from the law, right? They don't want to be caught, and so they run from place to place trying to hide out so that the law doesn't catch them. And so he's saying, this is a burden as well, Cain, that you're going to have to bear. Now that you've sinned in this way, and now this is your punishment, this is something you're going to have to bear for the rest of your life. And then a third thing that he was going to have to bear is to be separated from the presence of God. And he actually ended up east of Eden in Nod, and that's where he actually began his family. And the context suggests that perhaps God did forgive him for sinning in this way, but he had all these consequences that he had to bear for the rest of his life. How difficult that would have been for that individual. Well, let's go a little bit further in the Old Testament to Exodus, and let's look at chapter 18. And Exodus chapter 18 is an example of then what we would like to look at, where we begin to see someone who has a burden and it needs someone else to actually help them bear that burden. And Exodus chapter 18 is the chapter of Moses speaking with Jethro. Remember, Jethro was a priest of Midian at that time, and his father-in-law, and certainly traveling through the area where God had received, or where Moses had received the commands of God. And it's during these first few verses that we learn they meet there and they're talking and discussing what God had did for the children of Israel, that He delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh and led them out of the hands of the Egyptians and took them to where they are today with the commands of God. And in verse 8, Moses and his father-in-law, all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh, this is what Moses was telling to him and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way and how the Lord had delivered them. And so, as you continue to reading this text, Jethro is obviously happy for Moses and everything that he did for the children of Israel, and not only for himself, but of course having two sons, he was related to them, and so for his family. But one of the things that we learn in this chapter is Moses begins to have a responsibility being the person that he was for God. And that was he was going to begin to be kind of like the judge of all the issues that came up. And one of those things is he had to judge the major issues. He had to judge the smaller issues, we might say. And so you have this important lesson where clearly Jethro sees that this is a difficult thing to bear for yourself. Notice beginning in verse 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. And imagine the kind of work you would have to do being Moses, and you're the one handling all this all day long, listening to the problems and arguments and disputes of all the nation, and you're the only person that's able to do that. So when Moses' father-in-law saw that all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing you are doing for the people? Why do you do it alone and sit? And all the people stand before you from evening till morning." And Moses said to him, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." And so Jethro has that idea. But drop down then to verse 22. "And let them judge the people at all times." Remember, Jethro had told him to pick men from different people, from thousands, hundreds, and tens, and allow the small issues to be dealt with at a smaller level. Almost what we might think if you had like a tribe of like 15 people and there was an issue. Let them, a couple of the people who are wise that you're going to pick out, and let them sort out those small issues so that you don't have to deal with that. And so you notice then that Moses does just that. in verse 22, then it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. And so it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. And so a great lesson for us as we think about bearing one another's burdens, and we can look to examples like Moses in a different situation where he was having to be the psychiatrist, we might say. He was having to listen to everybody else's problems and try to solve them. And God provides a way through Jethro to say, this is how you can handle it, and it'll be accepted by God. But there are plenty of examples that we could continue to look at. And for myself, I think about all the prophets, from major and minor prophets, being what we would call a burden bearer. And that is that some of the prophets, with the burden they were bearing was the message from God. And not in a burden in the sense that they didn't want to carry it, but because they were going to have to go to a children who were wicked and corrupt and disobedient, at least for the most part, and they were bearing the burden of carrying the message of God to the people. And think about that. I have to bring this message to you. It's not a pleasant message, but you need to realize you need to repent and turn back to God. And isn't that true today as we think about being Christians? When we think about the world and those at our workplace and the people we're around every day, the people we're going to share the gospel with, it's not always the most favorable thing, is it, to know, like, this person's sinning. I need to find a way, if I can, to reach them and to get them to come to the blood of Jesus. And it's difficult. And certainly it's a burden to some degree to bury the truth and knowing what we know, which is that if we don't, we are not forgiven, then certainly we're going to die in our sins. And so is that not the case as we think about ourselves as Christians? And so some attitudes that we need to have then as we think about bearing one another's burdens, and I wrote a couple down, some very basic ones as we think about this. But going back to what Jesus said in John 14:15, he summarizes the kind of love that we need to have for Him in that great statement, in that conditional statement, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and My commandments are not burdensome, as we read 1 John 5:3. And you couple those together, the ideas we read in Colossians 3 also was one of the things that will solve all these issues, one of the things that will help us, the attitude and the actions that we need to have, is love. And so in 1 John 3... you'll begin turning your Bibles there with me in 1 John 3 and 11 through 15. John there has a little bit to say about how Christians ought to love one another, and certainly this would be the backbone of the reason why we're motivated to bear one another's burdens, just to help like Moses needed help, and even though Cain found himself in that situation, to be like Cain and having to deal with the problems in this life. 1 John 3, and let's begin in, we'll back up to verse 10 because this particular Bible I'm using, that's where the division's at. In this, the children of God and the children of devil are manifest. Whoever does practice righteousness is not of God, nor is whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then notice he goes back to the very example that we've been talking about tonight. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and so he followed Satan, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And so one of the reasons that we should be willing to uphold and to hold up others, well, of course, it's the love that we have for one another. Isn't that what we need? And that's a difficult thing sometimes, to express our love as God expressed it for us, but certainly it's something we need to grow in and learn to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. Another attitude that we need to think about that's closely related with the term bearing with one another is actually the word long-suffering. But when we talk about long-suffering, we're not talking about maybe necessarily the specific actions that are involved. We're talking about the characteristic of the attitude that we have. We need to have an attitude of long-suffering, or instead of having a short fuse, having a long fuse. And so quite literally, as the word means, to be long-tempered. And as we think about the deity that we have in our God being long-suffering toward us, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, we need to implement that if we're going to, again, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill that law of Christ. And so it takes that love, it takes that long-suffering attitude to be able to do that. And that's where we ultimately have, if you go over to Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and a little bit hit on in the Colossians verse there, as Paul writes, about the peace and unity that come from having these kinds of attitudes toward one another. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Ephesians 4, verse 1, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another, what? In love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so one of the things that can happen is if we don't bear one another's burdens, if we don't show this love and our interest in doing that, disunity can be a result. It can dissolve, it can destroy the church. And so certainly the Bible is telling us here that's why we need to love and be forgiving, and ultimately the end result will be what? Peace. That peace that comes from God. And that's the result that God tells us if we're implementing these things in our lives. Go back to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to read a couple more things here as we look at some other points. Because there are some warnings here that would keep us from fulfilling that. Not only not having the right attitude, but some more specific things. In verse 3 there of Galatians 6, where if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You see, one of the things that would keep us from bearing one another's burdens is not just not having the proper love and consideration for one another, but here he begins to mention one of the things that comes from not doing something for God is pride. And we talked about that and some people being prideful, of course, back in the foyer there. But certainly pride is always one of those things that we tend to have as God's, even as God's people. We tend to be prideful in the things that we do and the things that we achieve. And so an example that we could see where pride certainly falls flat on its face is Luke chapter 18 and beginning in verse 9, where here we have an example of the Pharisees being prideful in the way that they were living and had that pride in their lives and thinking that they were righteous before God. And here's that prayer, and it's a very familiar text for us, I know, but a very powerful one. And also he spoke this parable in verse 9 of Luke 18, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here's that pride. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other man, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I'm glad I'm not practicing sin like they are. He's got his own sin, of course, but he's not doing the same ones they're doing. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so you see the difference in pride there from the Pharisee and the humility that this particular person had in coming and approaching God in prayer. Notice in verse 14, I tell you, this man, the man that was humble, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Pride can be something that keeps us from bearing one another's burdens. Love keeps us from doing that if we don't have the love of Christ. And so we need to make sure that we do away with that particular thing. But look at the last few verses there in Galatians that help tie all this together. And there's an example here for us to look at, beginning in verse 7. Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We are not going to be able to think that God is foolish and doesn't know what we're doing. But he gives a wonderful example here for all of us. And that's the reaping and sowing concept found throughout all of Scripture. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let not us grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so at the end of the day, we have a personal responsibility. And he's saying that we're going to reap what we sow. And so we cannot neglect our responsibility to love our brethren, to keep that peace and the unity of the bond of the love and peace and joy that we have. And one of those ways in which we do that is to uphold one another when all these trials and temptations happen. It's to bear with one another. And a very important lesson for every Christian to remember. And this is the command of God. Remember, you need to continue to bear one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. And so certainly, just as the world needs to be saved by the blood of Jesus, certainly every Christian that continues to practice sin, if they don't come out of that, needs to repent and come back to God. And so certainly, as a child of God, tonight, if you need to return back to the Lord, certainly we can assist you and help pray with you and for you as you make that change. And so certainly if there's any need this evening to respond to the gospel or any other thing, please come to the front while we stand and praise God together.
And close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart. Be saved, O tonight. O why not tonight? O why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sigh. This is the time, O then be wise. Be saved, O tonight. O why not tonight? O why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to Him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, O tonight. O why not tonight? Why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then